We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Jair Alexander Ain't Going Nowhere edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Morley. You can find me on Twitter at Jacob Morley, and I am joined today by my co-host, Ross Uglum. Find him on Twitter at Ross Uglum. Unfortunately, we don't have Westendorf with us. He just bought himself a new truck, so he's out signing a million papers, doing all that stuff. Right now, Ross, you used to slang trucks, didn't you?
I did. Gateway Chevrolet, Fargo, North Dakota. Shout out.
Yeah. All right. But speaking of signing papers, signing contracts, let's jump right into it, man. The big Segway. News of the day was Jair signing a massive deal, a deal that he is worth. Let's just get that out of the way immediately. My man got paid. He got the bag, and he deserves every single penny. I noticed there were some Vikings fan accounts that were already talking about, oh, what a bad deal. He's coming off an injury. Why would you give a guy like that coming off of an injury that much money? Well, because when he's healthy, he's one of the best two cornerbacks in the National Football League on the planet. And Ross, I want to start with this just because this was also – the question I think that was floating around with some Packers fans and maybe even some national media type people talking about the this or that with these guys on the Packers. With Jair signing his contract, I think the natural thought, which I don't think is correct, but the natural thought was, well, the Packers chose Jair Alexander over Davante Adams. They chose the young cornerback over the aging star wide receiver. Do you have any thoughts on that, Ross? And I guess I just want to get your take on that. I didn't really hear what you had to say about that today.
Just that, like, the general take on, like, the idea that they chose Jair over Adams.
Right. Well, so I'll get us started here because I have thoughts on this. I just asked a question I wanted to answer myself, but I was giving you a chance to answer it first. Like, first of all, they did not choose one or the other. If the Packers won, if Davante Adams wanted to stay in Green Bay, he'd be here. He would be on this team. That's just a fact. He did not want to stay in Green Bay. Green Bay did him a solid by essentially trading him to where he wanted to go. He wasn't going to re-sign in Green Bay. I think Packers fans need to get that notion out of their head that he did not want to be here. So they got premium draft capital for him. Jair is – how old is Jair? 23, 24? Still a young, young player.
Yeah.
And the point I wanted to make too, and this is what we can talk about because I know you'll have thoughts on this. Let's say they did have to pick, which they didn't. Let's make that clear. They did not pick. But let's say they had to pick. If they had to pick, they pick the right player. You take the young shutdown corner over the Hall of Fame level wide receiver every day of the week, especially at their age, where they're at in their career. what they can do for this team. Just the general ability to find a wide receiver compared to a cornerback that can play like Jair can play is impossibly hard to find the corner. And they have him. You don't let that guy get away. You just don't let him get away. It doesn't happen. The thought of him getting traded that was beginning floated around was asinine to me. He was not going to get traded. He had to have been priority number one for this team this offseason to make sure he was not going to go anywhere. So, Ross, what are your thoughts on that, pegging the two against each other? What would you pick?
I mean, I would have picked Jair as well. I think if we've seen anything, it's that, you know, teams with truly elite cornerbacks are pretty darn good in January and February. You know, you think about the Jalen Ramseys of the world champion L.A. Rams. I mean, the Rams having Jalen Ramsey and the Bengals having problems at corner was literally basically the difference in that game. Then we start talking about, you know, the unbelievable group that Tampa had the year before as far as, you know, Carlton Davis and Jamal Dean. They were unbelievable. And you think of even like in Packers history, just how good Charles Woodson, Tremont Williams, and Sam Shields were in 2010. I mean, truly electric. And so, you know, I think, unfortunately, I don't know if it's been proven that the Davante Adams thing didn't work, but it didn't work. You know, they didn't win a championship with Rodgers and Davante, and it's not Davante's fault. They're not even a better team without him, but they needed to do something, you know, and that's something that we've obviously talked about is the fact that you can't pay everyone. No, they didn't choose to not pay Davante, but they got younger and arguably more physically talented at the wide receiver position. You know, Davante Adams, it's basically impossible to expect either Watson or Dubs to be as good as Davante. I mean, I think Davante might end up in Canton. You know, it's just an unrealistic set of expectations to set. But the young corner, as opposed to the wide receiver staring at 30, especially when he wants to go to Vegas and play with his best friend, is not much of a conversation. It just kind of is what it is.
And yeah, right. And so, like, best case scenario for this team would be.
And by the way, I don't mean to interrupt, but they end up in a great position. I tweeted it out. Like, this is the best defensive personnel they've had since 2010, period. Like, adding Enagbare and Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker to that group is elite from a personnel standpoint. It's electric. And yeah, the offense is probably going to get worse, but they also added a lot of flexibility that they, I mean, they're already strapped. They would have been strapped with Devontae's money on the books. And ultimately, you know, they were able to add a ton of talent. And I think two really, really big time offensive linemen in Sean Ryan and Zach Tom, as well as, you know, two wide receivers that I think can be in a Super Bowl winning team's top three in Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs.
And that's exactly the point that I was just going to make is in a perfect world, would you want Devontae and Jair and Devondre and these draft picks and Rasul? Like, hell yeah, of course you would. But I don't know if they get that done without Devontae leaving. I don't know if all those guys are able to sign and be on this team. Never say never. I trust Russ Ball. And I think if they really, really wanted to make it happen, could have they? Maybe. But it is clear that they had a plan with Devontae's, you know, leaving. And I think they knew from the time that he did leave what their plan was and what they wanted it to be as far as, okay, if we are Davante Adams-less for this team, we want to fortify this defense. We want to bring our two top unrestricted guys back in Rasul Douglas and Devondre Campbell. We'll start from there. We'll get Ja re-signed. And we're just going to roll out MFers on defense, and we're going to trust that Aaron Rodgers is going to figure it out on offense, and that he's going to at least make this offense above average to good. Maybe they're not elite. Maybe they're not the elite offenses that we've seen under Aaron Rodgers. But if this defense can play to their potential, and the only thing stopping them, Ross, is, well, two things: injuries always, and what's Joe Barry going to bring in year two?
Yeah.
You know, the guy that a guy that have questions about. Yeah, there's no excuses.
It's on you.
No excuses. You've got the horses in the stable, and maybe you know, and maybe it is the Jims and the Joes that just get it done. You know, I think anyone that's coached knows that. And man, hell, I've coached enough of all sports to know I'm such a good coach when I have good players. When my players are really good, I'm such a good coach. Like people tell me how good I am. Yeah. Like, oh,
I bet
you are so
do.
Good. And when my players aren't as good, then that's on me. And that's and like I get it. That's just coaching 101. You know, that's how it goes. But man, it is nice having dogs. Just having dogs that go out and you say go get ball and they go get ball, and that's nice. And so we will see. You know, I tweeted out today this defense now, and we can get into this too, because I think it was Ryan Wood that tweeted a little nugget talking about how now that the contract stuff is out of the way and historically outside corners get paid more than slot guys, now that that's out of the way, there's really nothing hindering Jair from being like, bro, put me in the slot, make me the star, and let me just go make plays for you. And I think that's where we're heading with this nickel package defense. I think it's going to be so fascinating now to see how they use those three corners that they have with, you know, Quay Walker. And people are writing really good pieces about what Quay is going to be for this defense right now. And you look at this team across the board, 1 through 11, it's you know, in the past, it was, okay, where's Chris Barnes? That's where I'm going. Okay, where's Henry Black? That's where I'm going. You know, depending on what week it was, where's Kevin King? That's where I'm going. And you look at this team 1 through 11 in their nickel package, and I don't know where as an offense you look at this defense and say, well, we're just going to pick on that guy. We're just going to go there because we know our guy's going to be open. I think it's going to be Quay. It's going to be Quay until
Walker
he proves.
And Rasul Douglas, I can promise you that. And the Rasul thing might not work out super well for you.
No, it might not. And Quay's going to have to prove that he can do it. And that's, I mean, if I'm an offensive coordinator, that's what I'm saying. Hey, we're going to find seven. We're going to see if he can do it. If he can hold his water here at the NFL level. Because if he can't, we're going there all day long.
If he can, it's a huge problem.
Big problem. Very big problem. And one thing that's interesting about that too is Devondre Campbell's ability to do so much for this defense could mitigate some of the issues that Quay might have as a young guy, because Devondre can just do so much that maybe put not as much on Quay's plate. Maybe say, hey, Quay, we're just going to send you up the A gap and you just go find the ball and hit it. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. And now that Jair is in the picture for the next, what was it, four-year deal he signed today?
Yeah.
Whatever it was. But the cap savings, too, that they get this year is interesting to look at. I believe his cap hit is down from, like, what, 12 to 7? So you look at that, and Ross, what does that say to you when you look at the cap savings they have this year? Does that say, hey, they're going to be in the market for a Julio Jones or maybe a Jaquiski Tartt or some you know, base level to good level free agent? Or is that more of like, hey, we need some flexibility under the cap for our in-season funds?
Yeah, I mean, the funds thing – it's tough. I mean, because you do. And that's, you know, I've had this argument. I can't remember, you know, you never know which idiot Vikings fan you're arguing with. But like that was a conversation I've had with like amateur capologist Vikings fans where they're like, oh, no, it's this and this and this. I said, OK, but what's the effective cap number? And that's really something that he or that I've learned from Ken Ingalls is, you know, what the practice squad costs are, what the in-season piggy bank. Because, hey, man, no in-season piggy bank, no Whitney Merciless. Like that, it's a real thing. And you have to understand that part of the cap, even if you're not going to have cap rollover like Ted Thompson used to have. It's a real thing. And so, you know, I think maybe that could be a part of it. And I think, you know, there could be an Elgton Jenkins extension. There could be a Dean Lowry release. I don't know how likely that is. In fact, I find it rather unlikely, but it could happen. You know, it could happen. And ultimately, I think that it really is a great question. I'd love to see a veteran pass rusher to pair with Enagbare in that second unit. I would love to see like a Desmond King type, or like a somebody who could maybe play a little nickel, kind of a Micah Hyde type, or a Darnell Savage type, somebody who could play a little slot, somebody who could play a little overhang safety, maybe play a little free safety, just somebody kind of back up all five positions, you know, because really with Jair, you have backups at both outside corner positions, somebody to provide a little depth, and maybe those signings are coming. And, you know, the other part that isn't lost on me is just how, you know, and Jarvis Landry is the one that I thought made the least amount of sense. So it's fine that he's gone, but just how much those veteran wide receivers, specifically the two potential gold jacket ones in Odell Beckham Jr. and Julio Jones, people keep the Packers' name in their mouths with those guys. And so it'll be interesting. I think there would still have to be some movement if they went that big, but anything to free up space, man. And you know, the other thing, and Peter Bukowski talked about this a little bit, and I've certainly discussed it in the past. The cap rise is real and it's coming. The new TV mm-hmm. deals are going to hit. The pandemic, at least its financial effect on football is largely over, or will, you know, work its way towards being over. And that salary cap is going to spike. So while, you know, you've certainly talked a number of times about the kicking the can down the street, and how, man, Russ Ball and Ted Thompson used to front load deals to provide a ton of flexibility down the road. That's just not where we're at. It's just not where we're at.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Look around the league, too. I think Packers fans can't get so wrapped up in just hyper-focusing on what the Packers are doing. Look around the league at how people are structuring these new deals, and everybody is operating under the premise that, hey, in 2023, this cap is going to explode, and we are going to – and so don't even talk – I'm not interested in projecting the cap out more than, honestly, like half of a season, because it's so volatile. But you look at – I've seen some people kind of talk, I've seen concerns about the 2023 cap. There's like five or six guys with over $20 million hit. I don't care. Because like that is when that cap can go up. That is when those deals might look cheap. I mean, we just never know with this stuff. In 2 to 3 years, these deals that they're signing are bargains. And it's just the nature of the beast. And so with cap stuff, I think it's important to keep that in mind when you're kind of looking at this thing. It's hard to project it more than 6 to 12 months. It really is. And the interesting thing about Dean Lowry too is because I think they they have their choice to make. And this is how I see this. They have their in-season stuff now, I think, sufficiently placed. And then there's Dean Lowry, who I wouldn't do anything with him. He was their second best interior defensive lineman last year. Pass rusher. He got after it. Had a great season. Yeah. He's due about $8 million. I think you have to make the choice and the decision. Let's just say Julio Jones, for example. Would you rather have Julio Jones on this team, or would you rather have Dean Lowry on this team?
Julio Jones.
Because I wouldn't. I take Dean.
Close for me.
I take Dean. Well, that might be how they're viewing it. And if Julio's healthy and can give you 16 games or can be healthy come playoff time, sure. Like, I can see where you could potentially be that. But also then you're going to be.
I'd give Julio 30 snaps a game or 25 snaps a game. I think because Dean's a defensive lineman. He's rotating anyway. I mean, I think you can definitely get away with moving Heflin into the Dean Lowry spot, because my thing is, like, I think you can pretty much get away with a rotating four of Wyatt, Clark, Slayton, Jerron Reed. I think you can get away with that. And go kind of, their fifth and sixth linemen have often been undrafted guys. And if that is the difference in having Julio Jones or not, I'm having Julio Jones. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I think if they did do that, you would be then saying, well, we're gonna bank on Wyatt being a stud right out of the gate, and we're gonna bank on Jerron Reed being a stud. And if they're right, then go get Julio. Yeah.
But what if you get 2020 Lowry? What if you get that player? That's a replacement level defensive lineman. You know what I mean?
What if you get 2021 Julio Jones?
Yeah.
That's a roster spot, not doing anything. And so that's the decisions that these guys have to make, and I don't envy them. Because a lot of times these are the decisions that come down to winning the big one or not. These players that are seemingly not big name guys, you don't know who's going to come in and play a major, major role for a team when you need them most. This is the time the last couple of years where the Packers have signed their starting offensive tackle for a massive playoff game, which has been around this time of year, which sucks. But that's kind of the nature of the beast and how it's been for the Packers. The great thing is Jaire Alexander is going to be a Packer for the foreseeable future. And that is worth celebrating. All the cap stuff, and Wes Jacob, who's not here with us today, would be rolling his eyes because he's right about this. When your team signs an all-pro level player, the only reaction you should have is just enjoy it. Be happy. Be happy that Goody is drafting so many of these guys that they have to actually think about this. Like, wow, do we have enough money to sign all these good players that we're developing? That's a good problem to have. And the Packers are going to continue to have that problem as long as, Goody continues to draft the way that he has. But guys, that's all we got for today. Get you out of here in 20 minutes. The Jaire news is the big news of the day. Hopefully, we get more details on that as the numbers come in. But he is a Packer. He's going to be a Packer. He ain't going nowhere. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. And as always, go Pack, go.